Okay, I think we're going to get started. At the last meeting, we had a meeting a couple weeks ago, and at that last meeting, we said we'd do a follow-up meeting and bring in the Department of Ag, Department of Health, and try to get our questions answered, and also try to look at what are the next steps. How do we start planning for what we're experiencing in Ocala? Yeah? So, just to recap, what started it all is April, I don't see April here yet, had a video because she posted it on Facebook and called me out on it and said, hey, you know, what are we going to do about this? Because it wasn't raining, but there was a massive amount of water coming through the streams and it was really smelling. So they got a video of that, and we have a video of that captured. And on the day and what time, it was like 3-something in the afternoon that she saw that all running. So we called the meeting, and a couple weeks ago we heard from, and thank you, Brad Duff, for being here as well, because I know it's not easy being the dairy manager, and we're calling you to meetings, and the one thing I got to give you a lot of respect for, and the community should have a lot of respect for that as well, is that he's brave enough to come down here and face all of us when we're very upset with what is happening, that we may feel that it is coming from the dairy. So since that meeting, we've been looking into the Department of Health reports. Who's here from Department of Health? We have, oh, right here, Matt, yeah. Okay, so we looked at the 2014 reports where they said they did, at that time, find wastewater in the stream, and then they followed it up, and it looked like it was coming from the dairy. Okay, so, and at that point, we were kind of upset with Department of Health, because then you turned and walked away and said, out of sight, out of mind, you know, Ocala is...
Not quite, but we...
Till now, 2000, the storm came, okay, and it raised a lot of questions again because of all the mud that came into the community. Then a report was done by Department of Health in 2016. And after this meeting, we're going to convene a community meeting sometime in a few weeks so that we can start looking at all these documents so we can have information. Tonight's meeting is not to do that because we need to hear from our agencies, from the Department of Ag, Department of Health, Department of Ag, and I think Keith, is Keith here, Okamoto yet, from our Department of Water? Oh, but you are. Okay, he's on his way, yeah. Because at the last meeting, we said, what was our priority? Because we were worried about the E. coli in the stream, which was alarming because it was way above the state's safe limits. And I think the state safe limits, and correct me if I'm wrong, is like 100 to 200 per, what is it, like the in a 3 ounce of collect, yeah. And ours was over 2,000. So, and they stopped counting after it hits 2005 or whatever it is. So that was alarming. So we have a lot of questions for the Department of Health, Department of Ag, and also our County Water Department, and he is walking down here as we speak, slowly. I think he might get out of it. No, but it was a good conversation. I did call Keith Okamoto from the Department of Water and talked about the nitrites getting into our drinking water system, because we all know that the E. coli and other bacteria or viruses can be killed through chlorine, but not the nitrates and nitrites that can kill our drinking water. So leaving that meeting, we all agreed that the priority was saving our drinking water, and how do we do it? So Keith, as you walk through and make a grand entrance, this is Keith Okamoto, he's with the Water Department. But how tonight is, what we're going to do is I'm going to have, before I forget and introduce people that are here. At the last meeting also, remember we talked a little bit about roads and access into Kukui Camp, right, Chua Charlene. Anyway, so Neil Azevedo was here at county. That got paved.
Next day.
So, great job. Yeah, and then Mac, I think, brought up about the ditches being cleaned up there, and they started. I think they made a lot of good progress, and they still have to get up there to do more. But they were working with Alika Maikui, so I want to thank Alika Maikui too, because he has been a great help in our community. In uncovering a lot of things too. Okay, so, and Brad, you're going to be off the hook tonight because I don't have you speaking, so that is great, but to listen. Because I think what is important is the community, going around the community from some other meetings and from calls and from emails. We have a sheet of, Lenny, did we pass it out, of questions that the community had? So we're going to hand it out to everybody, and if you have more questions, feel free to email me. It's a two-page one. And if you have more questions, email me. We can get your questions to Department of Health and Department of Water and to our Department of Ag. So I'm not saying they're going to be able to answer all the questions tonight. Is they could answer some questions, and the ones that they can't, they'll get back to us on. But the most important thing is, how do we move forward to protect our community, yeah, the health and safety of our community? So at this time, I'm going to bring Keith up, and if you could come and talk about water testing and things that we've talked about that you can let the community know. And I also have a map up here of the community. And Ocala is below, the dairy is up above. And I'm hoping that Keith will, you know, on the map where our water well is. Yeah, it's right. It's that rectangular piece. Okay, so our water, right here. Right there is our well. And then this is the dairy area right here. So, and our well is just right across the road. So you can see why we're so concerned about our drinking water. So how about a hand for Keith Okamoto?
Well, no clap yet. I never say anything yet. So. But thank you for the invite, Ms. Val. First off, before I forget, I want to introduce our deputy, Kavika Uehara. And he'll probably have a lot better technical information for you folks. But when Ms. Val called and expressed her concern about the drinking water, of course, we too wanted to take a look and see if there was any indication of possible impacts to our drinking water source, because that is always of our utmost concern. So we went back, looked at some of the past history and some of our testing, and the good news is, right now it doesn't appear that there's any adverse impacts to the drinking water quality. Nitrate levels have not risen in the recent history.
But they're present in the water.
They're present in the water. There's just because of either natural formations or even just past agricultural use due to fertilizers and whatnot. But Kavika can go into more detail, and I believe we also have a round of sampling scheduled. Is this tomorrow? Where we're going to test for nitrates, nitrites, a whole gamut of chemical contaminants that we typically test for periodically. So that will take approximately...
So tomorrow we have a set of sampling scheduled. It's for some of the regulated chemicals, constituents that Department of Health and EPA require of all public water utilities across the nation. Department of Health State Lab is running those samples for us, and their typical turnaround time is about 6 to 8 weeks. As Keith mentioned,
any way that can it be expedited?
Typically, I haven't heard of that because they have limited capability at Pearl City Lab on Oahu. All the utilities within the state, all the major utilities, primarily use that state lab.
But if the governor declares that we're a priority, we could possibly
there's other things we could also do. We also have a contract with another private lab in the mainland. You know, if we need to work something out where we can set dual samples or something like that. But there's still a turnaround time on those samples too.
So when you got these results, when was the test taken of these results that didn't show or didn't indicate any alarm that said it was still a safe limit?
Right. So the nitrites and nitrates, it's an annual test. The EPA maximum contaminant level is 10 parts per million. So when we sample it, I believe it's still about that 6 to 8 week turnaround time. And we've been, the results have been about the 0.44, 0.46 parts per million. And as Keith mentioned, that's, it's, when you look at our water quality reports online, it's fairly common across the Big Island at that level.
But it was done in March of last year?
Last year, yes, March 22nd last year. The year before that was done in February.
And then we had two like major kind of floods during that time, so important that this test
was
done.
Mm-hmm. So besides routinely monitoring for these chemical, we test monthly in the distribution system for bacteriological contaminants, primarily total coliform, and if present, additional tests for fecal. And fecal is the one that really indicates whether or not you have contamination due to human waste, things like that, or animal waste, things like that. So we've never had a hit in Ocala. So that's another good indication that your drinking water quality in your community is still top shape. The other thing that we also wanted to mention is that typically our wells are constructed such that even if there is a flood and it goes around our wellhead, our wellheads are typically elevated above the ground surface, and it's also sealed. In other words, there's a raw hole that's drilled, then we set a casing down, which is basically a metal sleeve. And then we grout the annular space between that open hole and that casing so that any surface water that might short circuit and find its way down into the well, that grouting prevents those things from happening. So there's numerous multiple barriers that we have in place to ensure that, you know, natural events such as minor flooding and runoff and things like that don't contaminate the drinking water supply. So we wanted to make sure that you folks are aware that that's how it's constructed as a precaution.
Any other
any questions
or concerns? You guys still drink the water?
Yeah. Yeah. I filter mine.
A lot of water.
Well, here, question here.
Yes.
How deep is our well? Is it one well or is it one well?
Well, yeah, just one well.
Okay. How deep is that well? It's less than 700 feet.
Yeah. I'm not sure offhand, but yeah, it should be less than 700
yeah.
feet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And spread as a rock mm-hmm. that you go through before you get to the aquifer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Percolation from the lagoons. Could that reach our aquifer?
Yes, it could. So what this aquifer under Ocala probably looks like is what we call a basal type lens.
Okay.
It's a freshwater lens floating on top of the salt water. So typically the ground itself does a good job of filtering out most of the contaminants. Things that will still appear are some of the chemical type contaminants. But it all depends. And typically what happens is it'll percolate, but it'll also move in the direction typically towards the ocean. So in other words, it won't just come straight down. It'll filter through the rock and then also move towards the Makai direction. So we also have assessments done by the university called Source Water Assessments. And they do some kind of modeling that models the influence area for the drinking water source.
Okay.
And so typically it looks like a elliptical shape, the mouth of the source.
Has that been done for us?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So the other good news is that we are not directly Makai of the lagoons or of that settlement basin, or I'm not sure what exactly they call it.
Is that available for viewing?
The report?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you get that to Val?
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions for the Department of Water?
You mentioned that this was a case with steel casing. Why was that? Because we were already, for most wells, have gone to the plastic or the type of PVC, large PVC.
Yeah, all ours are typically steel cased. Yeah, and that's just to provide a sleeve. And then our pipe columns are typically steel. Yeah. Sometimes in the newer wells, what we do is we put a portion of our casing that's set in the drinking in the aquifer itself. Sometimes we make that stainless steel. I don't think that's the case in this particular well.
How old is it?
That's a good question.
97.
Just about when I started in 96.
That's 21.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
21 years.
Close to that, yeah, about 20 years.
Unfortunately, if the position of the pick for is very, where it exists, it's very close to where the tunnel one goes back to.
Right.
And whether that was done because they knew it was a good source of water, I don't know the reason for that, but it seems like that is a potential contamination as well. That well, as I have calculated what, and I've been down in the tunnel all the way, and it comes out right close to where the present well was drilled.
Right. So we can take a look at that also to make sure that there's no potential cause for concern with that shaft. That's the old shaft, yeah. And the reason why we drilled the well where it is basically because that's where the tank is. Yeah. So we pump the water from the well into the tank. So just for proximity's sake. Yeah.
So the shaft doesn't collect water anymore. It's decommissioned, right?
Yeah.
Has there been a problem with this green algae?
No, not in groundwater sources. Yeah.
Well, chef is capped the same.
I don't believe it's capped or.
I don't believe it's
really
sealed. Yeah. I have a trespass to look at it.
Some of you guys might know more than we do.
Well, I have pictures of them down in.
Oh, yeah?
Completely.
Yeah,
we went down several times.
Ellsman was under the jurisdiction of the plantation, yeah?
No, that was at the time it was going up for, say, auction. And we put a bid on the auction.
Any other questions? The Department of Water? Thank you, Keith, for coming.
Okay, yeah, and I forgot to introduce our County Council District 9, Tim Richards, back there. And he's also, so I'll put a hand for Tim, because he came and he's, clap. he's a veterinarian, and he had toured the dairy today, so that's a good thing. So from the dairy, I noticed, I said Brad Duff, but Mr. Riley, right? You're also a manager there, or a general manager? So both of them have some ownership in the dairy, correct? No ownership in the dairy?
I do.
You do. Okay. So when I asked about the ownership, if we had any owners, you know, so he was an owner. He was here at the last meeting, but he was standing by the door. I just want to acknowledge that when I asked for owners, I wish you would have just said, hey, I'm a owner too. But that's okay. You're here today. You're here the last time, so I appreciate that. Okay, so now we're going to be bringing up the Department of Health, and I apologize for saying that you turned your back on us, but really it felt like Ocala was abandoned. So I'm just being honest with that. So how about a hand for Matt?
Thanks, Matt. So I'm sorry if that's how it felt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest thing, and I got to tell you, you know, I'm staff. I'm not upper-level management at the Department of Health. And I got sent, really, because I have some familiarity, because the program that I'm in, we really do more like inspections and investigations when there's typically like more like sewer spill type events. And we're really good at regulating that type of problem. You know, whether it's Hilo, their wastewater outfall is damaged, and you know, we're getting them to fix that, and they're doing a great job. You know, or whether you see the kind of city and county big sewer spills. You know, the Department of Health, from the clean water branch, and you know, like government, we're a mile wide and an inch deep. We don't necessarily have programs that fit addressing all of the community's concerns, you know, as much as it you'd kind of want it to. And when I started, that's how I thought it was. But, you know, I got asked to come because, yeah, in 2014, Neil did a report. He did a good job. And, you know, the question was, well, why didn't that get picked up on the radar of kind of more the enforcement program? And as being part of the enforcement program, they thought, you know, well, we didn't pick it up in 2014. We missed it. So let's definitely send somebody in 2016 as the community is really bringing it to the attention of the DOH. So in 2016, I came and, you know, as part of the inspection in December that kind of followed up on all of these things and determined whether there was permits necessary from a clean water branch program. And I'm here kind of just to tell you, you know, what we know and what we don't know and field as best of answers as I can. But I talked to a couple of the community members today and I already told them, you know, I'm really sorry that I'm not going to be able to come up here and give you like really succinct, good answers. You know, all I can kind of do is tell you the truth of what we know and what we don't know and kind of where we're headed next. And then, you know, listen to you because kind of like with the water supply issues, the communities, you know, there's five of us in the state that do the kind of work that I do. And when any time we do an investigation, we always find out that either the people there or the people in the community know far more than we ever will. You know, whether it's history or whether it's like, oh, because my cousin's friend's brother works there and, you know, this is what he told me, or kind of just subject matter. I mean, it's, you know, even tonight already, we've met people who are retired professionals who have more years of experience sitting here than I'm going to have when I finish my career. So, you know, I just want to kind of manage your guys' thoughts on that. And with that, I can tell you kind of what we see, if someone wants to answer a question. So, yeah, in 2014, and there's a bunch of questions about this, you know, I'm sorry, it didn't elevate to the department's attention enough to take action. You know, why that happened, I can't really tell you besides giving you context that provides excuses. Like, well, there's five people that manage, you know, all surface water pollution investigations throughout the state, which is 1,200 permits and 300 complaints a year. You know, repeated and definitely community interest, like you guys have expressed, that raises things to the top of our pile fast, even sometimes faster than a staff inspection, as much as I hate to say, because we see so many. And, you know, we have to prioritize. That's just kind of the times we're in, especially with the projected cuts from EPA is telling us 20 to 25% this next year, which comes to staff positions. We don't have discretionary budget. Almost 100% of our budget is man hours. So we have to prioritize. And for that, sometimes it's not that we abandon it. We hate hearing that. You know, we're part of the communities too. That's I don't take it personally so much, but I just really want to impress the point that it's not with that like level of callousness. It's not like that. But we do have to prioritize. So in 2014, yes, you know, we didn't take action. But in 2016, you know, we reviewed it again and went, darn it. In 2014, you know, there was the clear discharge, something very actionable. But now it's 2.5 years old. We have to vet whether this is still relevant, if it's still going on. And so in 2016, in December, we did, you know, we hired contractors to help us do this. It's very expensive for the state, but, you know, to help supplement manpower to do very pointed dairy-type inspections because we don't have many dairies in the state. So the depth of knowledge we have institutionally is not super great. So we went and we did our inspection, and we documented what you guys have all seen in the reports, in the 2016-2017 report, which is they've upscaled their operation tremendously. But it's been new ownership since 2014, and in general, we felt that their practices were very good, you know? And, you know, we document what we see. Now, we also understand that the community has significant interests in kind of what, after some discussions today and previously, you know, there's odor issues. There's significant concerns about odors coming down. And that's something we're here to follow up on and document, too.
But note that today they were saying no smell. But we wish it was like this all the time, but...
Well, we just don't believe you, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm just...
Really
it's not like that, yeah.
An inspection, it's somehow not smelling.
You know, I tell you, I
don't think it's come later, right?
Yeah, and so we gathered some of that information, that generally it occurs late afternoon or late evening with somewhat of a gap in between. It's kind of an odd phenomena. You know, I don't want to marginalize it with a silly story, but I do inspections for a living and compliance inspections, and I tell you, it's like Endless Summer, if you've ever seen that old Bruce Brown movie. The running joke is, we should have been here yesterday. Every site I've ever inspected was better the day before I got there. This one is somehow reversed, right? But no, you know, we don't discount that. Especially, you know, we try to do independent interviews with a lot of people, and then, you know, see where the common points are. And the common points are, no, certainly everyone says the same. The other odd phenomena is, after it rains during the day, it seems that the smell is a little bit more profound at night. And I don't know, you know.
Yeah, the temperature cools on uphill, it falls down, those cold air falls. It comes down past through them and down west at the bottom of the hill.
That is something that we have documented as been one of the current running like themes, is that we think it's like a thermal cooling which shifts the winds right around 5:30. So if there's an odor there, but during the day it's going uphill where there's nobody, then it might be shifting and coming downhill. Yeah, like a reverse convection.
I think it just depends on which way the wind's blowing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I mean that in essence is what it is, right? If you're downwind, you're smelling it, right?
Yeah, trade winds die down, and then the cold air starts falling down, and it's nearly late.
That's something definitely that's finding its way into our report. So that's one of the issues. And, you know, that's not directly under the purview of our program, you know, but I'm not here to be like, yeah, so don't talk to me about it. So no, we take that back with us. The other two issues, you know, is directly linked to our surface water program. And one is, are the wastewater ponds overflowing into the gulches and the streams? Because that's not okay. And everybody, you know, we've talked to the dairy about that, and that's not in their interest either for a litany of reasons, really. There's business ones as well as regulatory ones. And so we don't think that that's occurring right now, but as documented in our report, there is a potential of it, and we need to reduce the risk, whether it's because it's under a permit purview or just because you want to be out of a permit, you know, the trigger. You definitely want to reduce that risk, and we've conveyed that to the dairy as well. Then the last component that, you know, I'm kind of more familiar to talk with about today is there something that they're doing, like an agricultural practice that associated with watering the fields, that where you're overwatering, because that's, you know, whether you go directly or kind of via the road first, you know what I mean? No one wants wastewater in our streams. Nobody does. I can't imagine why someone would want to, but maybe that's why I'm in my job and not someone else's. But that is something we want to make sure. So one of the things we looked at, and there are some questions about the comprehensive nutrient management plan, and I'm sorry, I only got these questions now, so some of them take some research. They're good questions, not easily answered. And so we looked at some of the ag practices, and should they have a soil conservation plan? And the whole point is, you know, it's in no farmer's interest to lose the dirt. It's in no farmer's interest to lose water that we would also be using for irrigation or fertilizer. And is there a way then to make sure that that's being maximized? And so that's one of the things we have to look into further. And I think that the short answer is that we see a lot of improvement, even from December, but it's cursory, our evaluation of it. It's not like we've done, I don't want to sell it like we've done this some deep, investigative, comprehensive evaluation of their management practices. We haven't. You know, that's something we're going to look into further. That's something we conveyed to the dairy as well, which is, we think you're doing a really great start. I think that the chance of them overwatering to discharge compared to 2014 is night and day. You know, I want to be fair and balanced. You know, as government, we try to be neutral as possible. I see a lot of disbelief, but, you know, that is what we know today. But if you have more for us.
Because we've been calling and reporting a lot of discharge of that type of water, whether it's coming from the dairy or wherever it's coming from, we've been calling in to the Department of Health from 2014 till current now, and always reporting it, and they don't send anybody. And then the other day, we put in, you know, that they went down to look whether it was going into the ocean,
right.
And it was stink, yucky water coming from the Gulf. It tracked it all the way, showing it going into the ocean. Now, did Department of Health want to come in do a test down there and see what kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it's like, it's not a priority for the Department of Health. And here we are struggling and trying to police everything, and people are getting sick in the community. They literally are getting sick in the community. I mean, we can have stories on who has been on antibiotics for bacteria. We have an older person. We had Mel Miranda told me yesterday after the mud came, after the mud came into the house and all, the next day his grandchildren are all sick. You know, so things are happening in our community that are alarming for us because it's the health and safety of our community. And we, and that's why I said, you know, we feel abandoned. Sure. I'm not saying you really abandoned, but no. We feel like there's an abandonment of nobody regulating any major ag that's happening above and impacting our community. So I know we're going to hear from Department of Ag after, but with the Department of Health, the same thing. We rely on you, you know, because we try to go to the EPA, oh, you got to go to the Department of Health, you know, and all. And if it was happening and the water was going into Waikiki, I can almost guarantee you guys would be there every day.
You know what's funny? Probably not.
Have you seen the video of the water going into the...
Yes.
You saw it. Okay. I just want to state that was last Sunday, not this Sunday, and it didn't rain Saturday, and it didn't rain Sunday, and every single stream and gulch from Hilo to Waimea was dry as a bone, except the ones on the video.
That,
I just want people to understand that.
Yeah, and that's what's been communicated. And, you know, I don't want to discount that at all. I mean, that's why I'm, you know, I seem lost for words, and it's never a matter of some callousness, and you know, I'm not in the position to speak for the department except for on the explicit issues authorized today, because unfortunately, you know, I'm here on the chain. But I can tell you from personal experience, you know, I certainly, sometimes it doesn't matter how it got prioritized. It matters really how you feel. And you know, that's certainly a bad place to be feeling. And, I get that. I mean, I personally get that. Now, speaking from the department, it's not an issue of callousness. It really is an issue, or somehow people think it's really like politics. But I've been with the department for 12 years, and what you would think is a politicized program being enforcement of point sources, you know, so primarily other counties, frankly. Like, our biggest penalties have always gone against city, state, and county agencies, because we don't have a lot of industry in Hawaii. It's not like we have chemical plants. We have counties discharging sewage. It's a problem of resources, and that is a problem of today for all of us. And you know, that's you're at here and listening and going through your council people. That's important to us. I know it's really less than comforting. It is, I apologize for that. And as I say, I can only tell you the truth. I can't give you any great answer. Question.
Yeah. Came up the last meeting we had, and has the Department of Health made any determination of whether the lagoon, upper lagoon, is properly lined?
So that question came up to us 2 weeks ago, and so one of the things we have started to talk to the dairy about, that whether it is lined or not. So that's one of the questions being brought back, because that's under the purview of, okay, I told you, of another program, but we have to answer that question. And we have to determine whether, what is the necessary regulation for that they should or should not be complying with. Because some of it, the regulations, and you can talk to the department, I hate to punt, but agriculture about this, their regulations for agriculture are generally a little bit, not more nuanced, but less rule-driven than for traditional point sources. It's a lot of management practices and general norms. And that's something that I think from a regulatory agency, like I said, you know, we come from more like sewer spill, chemical plant spill, refinery is a little bit more foreign. But that's definitely something that's on our list. Yeah, we have to follow up. We owe you an answer.
Were you with Anthony?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the discharge permit, having read that report, he indicates that they appear to need to do this.
High potential. Okay.
Now, how does that come about happening?
Because
I don't understand how these different agencies and all come together.
So, under the Clean Water Act, right, the federal act, they said basically, if you're going to discharge pollution to the environment, the only way you can do it is under a permit that actually authorizes a certain amount of pollution to be discharged. So it's a shield. It's called the shield doctrine. The NPDES permit is a permit for the from the regulatory agency to shield the discharger, provided that they comply with the permit. One of the issues nationally that has been going on is about, we call them CAFOs, confined animal feed operations. And you see this throughout, especially like the Mississippi area and the nutrification and eutrophication of the Gulf states. You need, my enforcement side is going to come through. You need four elements to be able to take an enforcement action under the Clean Water Act. You need a point source, you need a discharge, you need obviously the responsible party and in violation of some kind of a standard. The courts have found that for CAFOs, and this is more like, I think it's the Fifth Circuit, but it's one of the federal courts, that just because somebody has a really high potential to discharge, the federal government, generally the states, though some states are different, the states cannot compel you to say, because you have a high potential to discharge, you have to get a permit and start meeting all of these standards. It says, if you do in fact plan on discharging, you can't help but discharge, or in fact you do discharge, then the regulatory agency can say, because of this, now you need to do that.
So if we have proof and we have evidence that
yes.
it has been discharged,
yes.
because
yes.
you know, we have pictures of where it's coming from off the land, where it looks like a man-made ditch to help release some of that water, and actually the runoff coming down. You know, community has been able to find that, mm-hmm. but for some reason, the agencies and investigating agencies have not been even trying or have found anything, you know, or you say there's a high potential, mm-hmm. you know. And it's your safe way because you don't want to get sued by the dairy for saying, hey, they're accusing us when they never even see.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, we can't
right?
tell you.
Right?
It's,
right.
it's not the lawsuit so much as, you know, like I said, we can only always document the facts, right,
right.
and be truthful. So if I see it, you see it. If you don't see it, you gotta say you don't see it, right? You can't. So I mean that's important.
Just from reading your report, it appears that you already have found that.
Right.
I mean, you found it, and you're not doing anything. I mean, it's.
Are you the 2016 or the 14?
Reading your report.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like it's there.
But we've gone back and forth
yeah,
about this.
So there's no back and forth. You keep throwing this word potential, and then you specify these findings that are clearly contrary to the regulation. And yet, you sit here and say, well, we have so much. You just say, do the permit. That's it. Do the permit. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you're not doing that, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, I hear you. I do. There has been substantive facility changes.
But in 2016,
yes.
okay, you guys found the water source. It said that, yes, it looks like, smells like manure or whatever, but we cannot really say it's coming from the dairy. But yet you guys didn't do what 2014 did, where they traced it back.
Wait, in 2016, like?
2016, who traced that? When you guys went to do the check on the water, where it was coming from?
Wait, this is the... 2 weeks ago, no, but
the, no.
no.
The 2016
December
report.
No, we did. I mean,
you
we
guys
we
went
traced.
Back up to the dairy to go look, and did you guys trace go up the gulch and look where that water was coming from?
Which?
On the 2016.
No, I know which date you're talking
yeah.
about, but in 2016, what we did was we started right at the dairy, and we
okay.
started at the very top, and we went through their whole waste stream.
Right,
and
you guys
from top
down
to
Opala and found.
We went to. I didn't come down to by Charlene's house. We went to the other side at that time because the lagoon that discharges their wastewater discharges on the Hilo side gulch. So we went to the Hilo side gulch stream to look
but
at that.
You guys never come to this other stream. You guys didn't go to the stream where
this
the
one
by
father-in-law's house.
Yeah.
No.
You guys didn't go to that.
Right.
No.
So
that is where.
Yeah. So what I would suggest is whenever DOH comes out. Because you go to the dairy and you get all them and their information and you get them to lead you wherever they like to lead you. But you don't come to the community for us to lead you where we need to lead
so
you.
So that was today why we were sent. Like, that was literally today with that, again, this is, that was exactly our concern. There's always multiple sides to every story. There always is.
Right. And you should always look at two sides. That's a given.
I'm with you on that one.
We're going to go to the dairy where maybe the source of our problem here in Opala, and of course, today, you think they had an immaculate dairy up there today because they had inspection and they had Councilmember Richards up there and Department of Ag and everybody touring up there? Of course. If I'm somebody coming to my house, I would clean my house too, but sorry, I will clean my house today for you. So you're not having walking property. But no. But that's what I'm saying.
Come
to the community. Let us show you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So just to finish that thought process, we anticipated that there was going to be people that wanted to talk to us after meeting us tonight because we are not part of the direct community. We don't know as many members. So, you know, one of the things, definitely we'll leave contact information, but also, you know, we plan to stay at least a little while tomorrow, but not just like hightail it out of town to not talk to you. You know, so as best you can, if you feel comfortable either catching Neil or myself after this, you know, and you want a few minutes to chat, either with, and tonight's probably tough already because it's late, but if there's some time tomorrow, you know, certainly we'd like to spend that time.
Any more questions?
The first lagoon that's up there, I keep hearing we don't know if it's lined or not lined. We don't know if it's being used or not used.
It's used, as far as I understand. That's what we document.
We heard it was.
It is being used.
But it's not.
But it's not? Well they said they did.
Yeah, it's our understanding it's not lined.
But the dairy manager and the owner says they don't know.
But I thought Greg was going to check that out.
Can we clarify why? Because we didn't build that lagoon. And you're right.
You said you were going to check them out.
It's not exactly right. We're trying to find out what is the best mode to actually check that out. There is nobody that has residue that being built with a liner in it. So we can't confirm. You're right. And that's what we're looking on. Trying to find out is that not.
There's a part of it.
You can have a when you build it, so you need a permit to build
a lot of these historic ones that have been, like, grandfathered is the wrong word for it, per se, but there is a lot of historic infrastructure. I'm imagining it's this way even for water and the flume systems and transport systems for which the regulatory agencies actually don't know that much.
That dairy isn't old enough to be grandfathered in.
So that original, I mean, that's
so go ahead,
Les, you have used to well, and then even with the stream, I mean, Val, you know, keep talking about where the stream is staying. When are you going to check that? Like, that's going to be done now, or just the next meeting is going to be like, how red, never find. I mean, how long does it take to find out if the, like, if somebody complains about my dog barking or something, they're going to try to do something about it.
Right.
What I understand, the water guy is doing a wonderful thing here, you know, getting jobs for everybody. He's doing like all organic this and that. And why would you know the community smell all this smell? Right? And get the smell, but when they don't think they don't smell, that's right, you know. But why if you know that, why wouldn't you guys just like, just bring your own heart, like just say, I'm going to check this line up. At least I'm going to know it here. I mean, I'm going to make this one priority. I'm going to find out why get this smell. I mean, I cannot understand, but you guys seem like real nice people, but just like, you just,
And the other thing is, we requested to meet with the owner. So this is what I told Councilmember Tim Richards, who may be able to do that for us. Be a good neighbor. Come and meet your community. How do you be a good neighbor if you don't know your community? And I'm sorry to say, but when the owners come, they better be able to eat some humble pie. Because we've been going through a lot of shit here, no pun intended, and they're not around. We don't even know who they are. We don't know even what they look like, you know. So, well, he is one of the owners. We just found out lately that, oh, you and your dad own the dairy. Okay. Okay. But you're, okay. So, but the last time, too, he was here and nobody spoke. But anyway, so it's, on top of that, the compounding thing of the, you know, that we feel abandoned, you know, is like now we're feeling not cared for too because our neighbor is saying, I don't need to be around, I don't even care for you. Or 2 weeks ago, we gave you the check. Does it take more than 2 weeks to find out if that thing was lying? I mean, here you had called the Department of Water, we got answers, we got that. We knew we were getting this meeting, so I would hope that the next time or soon that you'll get some information to the community to show that you care. So that's, I think, that's what people are saying. Just show us you care.
And people get in headaches and yeah. they actually get sick from the smell, you know.
One night I emailed Brad because the ammonia was so strong through the windows. It was just so concentrated. It was just, I had a headache. I had to take, I took 200 pokes and then that headache still never go away. It was like, it was, it's bad. You know, and so all we're saying is help us in our community. Help care for us. You guys had to do big ag up there. I tell you, it wouldn't be an issue if it was all taken care of and done, managed well. We wouldn't be complaining.
And if you only think of old guys, just think of the small kids.
Right.
Think of that. Forget about us old guys. Think about the small kids that got to live like this.
They cannot go in the gulches and go do play in the gulches, pick guavas or do pickle pie or go fishing or whatever, you know?
So with the lagoons, I'm still not exactly clear. There's two lagoons.
Okay.
So the first one, it's being used. We don't know if it's lined or it's not lined. Isn't there some kind of regulation that if you have a large capacity, that's exposed to the environment, there's some kind of regulation that if you have it and you're using it, that you have a problem?
Yeah, so that I don't want to put my foot too much in my mouth and speak for another program, but my understanding, and this is what why we documented it, yeah, is that when there's wastewater lagoons, but it's not the same as like a human cesspool wastewater, because like piggeries have oxidation pits as well. So it's captured in a different, more like agricultural wastewater. But, you know, the necessity that their two lagoons are in series, you know, it goes from one to the next and stops there. It's... there should be lining. That's my understanding. But that's something that we have to go back and do our research. And like I conveyed, this is, we don't have 20 different dairies for which there's a lot of discompetency. And certainly, and that's your frustration with us. I feel that. I do.
And what about the building of the second one? Why did that have a permit?
I don't know if that wouldn't be, our branch is very narrow, right? It's a discharge permit. So that's why, like, some of those questions are on your list, and those are something I have to take back. I can't answer you right now.
Okay, a little frustration. A lot of different departments, different branches, different whatever. It's the expression, the old government shuffle, you know, where you ask questions and get no answers. And, well, it's not my job, I don't know. Please appreciate our frustrations when people ask, because well, like what was recommended in the report is a 7 million gallon lagoon. Don't know why that was specified in the plans, but never built.
Is that in the? I think that's in the CNMP. Comprehensive Nutrient Management Plan.
Now. The 2.5 million, but you've got a 1 million old one, 2.5 million new one. Something concerns me now. If those walls break from saturation from rainfall, I mean, it is on the Gulf Coast, we get a lot of rain. Don't know how they're built. Nobody's got answers on the inspections. Does it have geotextile grid in there to keep it together if it gets saturated? We're not talking about what's inside leaking out.
Yeah, yeah, you're talking about structural.
Environmental issues causing it to break.
Yeah.
If you've got 3.5 million gallons of sewage come rushing down the hill to us, you think rainwater causes grief. Believe me, the talk out hits the fan when that happens.
I can only, yeah.
But the question is now, these things, were they permitted? Were they inspected? We're living below this. Mm-hmm. And we're getting don't know answers. It goes to somebody else. If we build a house, it gets inspected. I put solar panels on last year. I had to get a permit. Had building safety come out. Had to inspect this, inspect that. That's not. But yet we get 3.5 million gallons of sewage up above us, and somebody says, don't know if it was inspected, don't know if there's a permit, don't know.
Who does
where
that?
Does it stop?
Where does it stop?
I think Val is doing a great job in forcing all the regulatory agencies to the table to answer your questions. You know, and the last thing I want to tell you is, well, it's just not my job. I really wish, and this is kind of what I told some of the other community members, I wish I had answers for you.
She thinks she's doing her job, but everybody's coming back and saying, we don't know.
Right, so these questions that you have, you know, you've written them down, and okay. You certainly, that is something I can take back.
All right. I'm a retired engineer, civil engineer. If I design a site for commercial development, mm-hmm. an industrial plant to go in, and we've got detention areas, you better believe we've got to address the way those detention areas are structured so that they don't break and cause problems.
Right.
That's a detention area. Okay, so they're not an industrial plant, but they are an industrial dairy. And what they're detaining is a lot worse sometimes than just stormwater runoff.
A lot.
So
I'm with you on that one. Absolutely.
Who is... Now, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you guys at the dairy, you've got to be about as frustrated as I am right now, because when you guys come in to do this, you say, what do I need to do so you can figure out our costs? Do we invest in this? Do we get into it or not? And then to have somebody come along after the fact and say, oh, well, you need to do this. And, oh, by the way, you also got to do that. And, or you got to do this. You know, you can bleed these guys to death doing that. That's not fair for the business any more than it is for us. When they come in, there's got to be a structure someplace to say, this is what you need to do, so they know what's going in, so they know what the costs and impacts are going to be. This, you know, I feel like this is 1958, and it's a creeping subdivision where you do it four lots at a time, so you've got a 1,500 home subdivision without any controls.
Yeah, I certainly hope that's not the case.
Well,
they keep increasing their heads of cows.
Well, they're registered as a 2,000. I guess another question now. They're registered 2,000 heads as a CAFO.
CAFO.
Okay.
No.
CAFO. Okay. With the USDA. Okay. So
I think we're getting into.
Upfront.
Yeah. Can we wait on those questions for
okay.
the Department of Ag?
All right. Okay. Got you.
Okay.
But
we're saving all the good ones
for you. Trying to understand, and I don't know if you guys, Brad, I don't know if you guys got the same frustrations I do trying to understand this, but, and you got investments as a part of the owner on this. If I had a regulatory agency piecemealing me to death, and, I don't know.
Yes, we are not loved by all.
Yeah, well...
No, and you know, that is...
There's fairness for both sides. You
right.
can't do this to the business, and you can't do this to the community.
Which is why, like, permit structure is exactly... Well, that's why permit structure is, like we said in the beginning, why permit structures exist, right? Because it serves both interests. It does, and you certainly deserve answers.
Okay.
Who in your department makes the decision that permit has the pollution discharge... permit has to be
the director issues permits.
The director?
Yeah, or deputy director for our case.
And there are
Oahu. Oahu. Yeah. There are many prongs that get up there.
Yeah. Any more questions?
Do you ever talk to them about this issue?
I'm sure that this, yes.
Okay.
And more so now than ever.
Okay.
You have a question, okay.
We just got questions, that's all.
No, and you deserve answers, absolutely.
Besides the surface water in the gulches that you folks tested any soil sampling?
This is going to go back to the, I don't care what branch you're in, you guys need to coordinate better. No, we haven't yet. Our program is very, very tight. It's really for the surface water issues. I mean, that information is all there. That was one of the compelling pieces why they were like, no, you have to go and start listening to the community. This is valid. I think it's frustrating as it is. It's the steps taken necessary for us to gather a more full picture. So, like, I think one of the things, if you know, we pursue this again, is we certainly have to, when we take a discrete sample somewhere, we have to look. I know this sounds really stupid. We have to look further up in the gulches so that we can isolate the sources and not know just what's at the bottom, but kind of as it comes through.
Sense, yeah.
I know, but that we don't do these things. I share your frustration often. So Yes.
Who does?
Share my frustration, I think a lot
no,
of
people. No, who will do that?
Who would do those?
That is, that's...
They will now.
Yeah.
They will now.
Yeah. But who will now?
I think that's, again, you know, we have one person on the Big Island, so they can't do it by themselves. Neil can't do it by himself. When we do that, we have to mobilize so that there's more hands, just logistically.
How many areas do you have on this island that you're inspecting today?
So far, just this one.
Well, yeah, so one person could check one area, correct?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no. But to, like, to mobilize to do sampling, like, in multiple areas on the same day.
But all this is from 2014, and I know it's been going on longer than that. We still don't know if they have permits. Do they have the permits that they were supposed to get?
Yeah, I mean, that we're kind of back to.
Yeah. We're going to, John is going to come up next, and we're going to have a lot of good questions.
So, Matt, at one time, you had talked about that being a possibility. So where are you at with that?
I think it's looking better and better. I can't commit our management. That's the skids. I'm sorry.
Better and better that you're actually going to do something, you mean?
Better and better that we're going to actually do the probably testing. So what I need to know, and I've asked the different people I've spoken to today, especially like you pointed out, when it's not raining and there's continual flow, that is something we need to know about. You know, it's one thing if it's raining everywhere. It's another thing if streams that shouldn't be flowing are flowing. Right, so we got the video last week, which is why we're here.
We can show you each and every spot really easy.
Okay.
So how will we know if that's going to happen? Who do we need to contact to make it happen? What is it that we need to do as a community?
So I'll leave my contact information so that when you do see something, that you can contact me directly. You know, and then... You know, we will try to I can't give you a definitive.
So who do we need to contact above you to put in that request that
always feel comfortable to call the director, the deputy director.
And then yeah. If all of you here get a letter out to the governor that if you have to sign, please see us, because we're going to ask him for help to help make sure that we get to the top of the list that our community does and become a priority. So we have a letter. Casey, do you have the letter at the table there? So if you haven't signed your letter to the governor, go read it and sign it. If you're in a public community or resident, please do.
Can you explain it has the potential, that turnout? What, when does it become more than a potential?
When we see it discharge. No, the wastewater lagoons. I mean, there's a clear nexus to that, the wastewater lagoons. And when we were standing there, the clear potential to discharge was as we stood on the wastewater lagoon spillway.
But then there was I had an overhead Google shot that showed the lagoon, and then I asked what that was, and they dug a
spillway.
And it looked, from that Google Earth thing, it looked like it, the
when we were there,
was full and spilling through.
So when we were there, all I can tell you is what we saw, right? The spillway was full of rainwater, and it was clear. One side it's the wastewater, one side it's the rainwater, and then you really can tell the big difference. And there was still about
a foot. Sure, they never will shoot them down with big holes with their trucks and go shoot water down. No, I don't know, but I'm just saying.
I mean, it's
that,
a big lagoon. But...
Yeah, but I've read reports that had too much brush where they couldn't go into it and really go look.
Well, that one was if it topped that spillway when we were right there. Okay. Like,
so you looked at one lagoon or you looked at both lagoons?
One, the bottom lagoon that's connected from the top to the top lagoon.
So you never looked at what was happening at the top lagoon.
Right. It's our understanding it's connected, though. Okay.
Any more questions?
One more.
Yes, in series. It goes through one and then the other.
When you get the call, when you see flowing in the stream, how soon do you think you're going to be able to get out there before it stops?
4 to 6 weeks. No, that's absolutely.
4 to 6 months.
No, that's something that, you know, that is a legitimate concern. It is a legitimate concern. We have, it's the one staff person issue.
Yeah, I know, but that's why.
I know.
You know, even if you get the call, if you cannot take our word for it, you know, how are you going to be able to see? It's flowing. If it's going to take you 3 or 4 weeks.
You can absolutely, like, and we can talk about some of this if you want to talk about it after, you know, and I think a couple other people in the community have asked too, like, what can we do to like, take better pictures or make a better case, yeah? And there are certainly things we can do about that.
Live.
or and wider angle. That's a, we tend to become very like we take a shot of something really close, because you know when you're standing there, you see it in context. But we, you know, for someone just looking at the picture later, we have to see it in context, you know, so we can identify the spot, identify where it's coming from, and those kind of things, and observations that you make. You know, it really smells. The gulches are not flowing, you know. Those are the kind of things that, you know, the person reading, we were talking about this today, we get so used to assuming that the person reading knows what we're talking about, especially, you know, and those are things that would really help.
Any more questions? Oh, right there. Go ahead.
The question I get is, you guys talking about weeding in the milking pollen if all these cows are lining up. What about the set of cows that get above the road that they can't feed on them? I would say bottom out stretch. You're feeding the cows cracking on there, and they wash it down into a little flume right above the dairy, and then they put piping alongside the ground with it. Doing
the new milking stuff that they're doing,
who knows where that pipe went? Did anybody draw that pipe out and go, okay, this is going to the
shed pond,
or
it's
going to the gulch?
And that's why we have to talk to the community. Those are the kind of questions that...
I mean, it's in plain sight, you drive up to the forest line, right there, right on your left, you cannot miss. Big collar, you put 2x6s because it was too small and was flowing over. So you put 2x6s, no way to the cement yet, but 2x6s there. I got pictures.
We definitely need to talk.
And I would want a copy of, yeah, anybody has pictures or videos, please send this to me, because I'm just compiling it all into one place. Yes.
Have we ever found out if our drinking water is safe yet?
Oh yeah, you came in a later time, but we have our Department of Water, who said they're testing tomorrow, but the last test they did in March of 2016, it was at a safe level yet. So tomorrow they're going to do another test, and we're hoping to get that expedited. And I'm saying, they said it will be expedited. I say I'm hoping we can get expedited. So, if you, yeah. So, but thank you. Thank you for the question. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you. Everybody.
I need pictures. Okay, thank you. Okay, so now we'll ask Scott Enright. He lives right up here, part of our residence in Ocala, so I am sure that his heart is still with the people and caring for the people. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Good evening, everyone. Yeah, I wanted to thank Matt and to answer some of the questions on government. You know, Department of Health is a huge and sprawling department, and he doesn't make any of the decisions. The decisions get made in Honolulu as to where resources are going to go. And so as much as he might want to follow up, if he's not given direction, they send him someplace else, that's what he does. He does not do policy, but I do policy. And so when I got the call from Val about a week and a half ago, I've got a hold of the deputy at the Department of Health. And I told him the Department of Agriculture will pay for the work that needs to be done so we can demonstrate what's going on in the gulch. You know, I will say from the get-go, my expectation is that the dairymen that we have here in Ocala are good actors. I don't think they're intentionally discharging waste into the stream. I don't. It's bad business decision to do it.
So,
could be. We'll take a look, Sonny. You know, it's my intention to find out where it's coming from. I know Matt and the Department of Health, in talking to his bosses, are looking at the cultural practices of when the water gets applied to the fields. So the wastewater gets put on the fields. It then gets harrowed in to try to make sure it stays incorporated into the soil. But in a big rain, it could sheet off. That could be the problem. Department of Health can't tell us that. It's going to take a longer study. And today, up at the dairy, we had the dean of the College of Agriculture, Bruce Matthews, and we had his environmental engineering professor who specializes in waste management up there. And so I'll be working with him to come up with studies and working with the Department of Health to find out what the source of the contamination is. is part of my job at the Department of Agriculture is I advocate for agriculture all over the state, and I do advocate for dairies and the growth of dairies in the state. That said, if you work in state government, if you work in any government, and you're a public servant, the first thing you need to care about is the health and safety of the citizens of the state. I don't care what department you're in. And that's true of this individual standing here. And so I'll tell you, I'll do everything I can to follow up and find out. I was not aware Department of Health was being called on to take a look at the water supply. I wish I was. Would have been far more proactive. I live here, but for the last 5 years, I've been in Honolulu most of the time because I work for the governor. So I'm a part-time resident of Ocala, but my heart is still here. Work for the plantation. I will work with you to try to get the answers as to what's going on. With that, I think I'll take your questions because that'll be far more productive than you listening to me. So I'm going to open it up, Valerie.
Whoever. Question? Okay. I think, Mike, you had a question.
And if I can, before we start, Mike, you know, I also just got the questions today. So, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I will commit to getting every possible answer I can, Mike.
Okay. Well, I guess my questions aren't part of those questions, so sorry to disappoint you. I was asking about, you know, these lagoons that are built.
Yeah.
The design of them, how they're constructed, how they're inspected. Can you answer how that works?
I can answer part of it.
Okay.
When an entity like Big Island Dairy asks to put in a waste management plan, it gets reviewed by Department of Health, Environmental Health, Wastewater Branch. So they take a look at what's being proposed, in this case a CAFO with 2,000 cows. And then they take a look at the design and make sure the design criteria meets everything that's necessary for structural integrity. So that's how they get permitted initially by the state and then by the county afterwards to go ahead and construct that pond.
Okay, now who inspects the construction? Just like I was saying when I did the solar panels, they had to get a permit, inspections and all that. If the example I gave, if I were designing something for an industrial plant, I would have inspectors from the county out or from the city out, depending where it is, looking at the construction of those detention areas or lagoons as it was being built to ensure that they don't rupture and go downstream,
right,
because of environmental issues or because of inattention to construction following design. Is that done here, or is this just...
My understanding is that's done by the wastewater branch, but it's one of the questions. Every question that's on the list that I got from the community, okay, we'll attempt to put an answer with and give you the date that it happened, so
I don't know if that's
follow
on the list.
Well, yeah. Now,
it was one I've heard a couple of times, but,
right,
so we'll put it on the list.
And this, you may have it under control now with the environmental engineer from the dairy there.
From the university.
Something we had to consider when we were designing lagoons was the hydrology of the area. Also, if we were going to use an ag machine and inject into the ground, which essentially is what they're doing, putting the waste back into the ground to build up the nutrients in the soil, we had to look at the hydrology of everything above it. And their growing areas are best down low. So we've got some steep grades up above, so you're going to have water scooting down through that. When these sites are looked at for the lagoons and for where they're going to be rebuilding soil with the waste, is the hydrology considered up there on what's coming down to it?
You know, the first thing I'll say, you're sort of in the weeds for the work that I do, Mike, but, you know, it is a good question. I would expect that in their nutrient management plan, because they were, you know, Big Island Dairy told the state how they were going to manage their wastewater, that the wastewater branch took that into account with their calculations. But I'll follow up on that.
I'd be curious about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's where the Department of Health is currently most interested in finding if, in fact, the waste is coming from the dairy.
Yeah.
Then, and how's it getting there? If they can't find that it's intentionally being discharged, how does it get there? That's the most likely suspect, and that's where they're putting their attention. At least that's what the deputy wrote me recently.
Okay. If you've got sheeting problems coming off then from rain events, again, detention areas,
you know,
diversion structures to bring it into those areas that can be recaptured.
Right.
They don't want to lose that soil.
Exactly.
Recapture, put it back in place. Keep it from coming down. Here.
Yeah. Is sheeting usually happens when the soil is super saturated? Mm-hmm. You know, I keep a rain gauge in my yard. I used to read the rain gauge right out here when I worked for the plantation. Our average rainfall here at this 300-foot elevation is 120 inches a year. That's a 100-year average. The last 2 years, we've gotten 180
yeah.
here,
yeah.
as you know, because you've been living through it as you've done construction.
Yeah.
I felt for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's significantly more. It's another 40 inches, I believe, as you go up the hill to the dairy. So the potential for sheeting could very well have been there.
When they look at the hydrology of these detention areas and recovery of runoff and sheeting, do they consider, like we would look at storm events. You've got a 50-year storm, 100-year storm, 500-year storm. Nobody designs 500-year storm, not even interstates, but a 100-year storm. And that doesn't mean 100 years after the dairy put its permit in to build, that doesn't start the clock. The clock is based on the weather cycles. And we might go 180 years without one and then get two in 20 years. But what kind of design criteria is being looked at on this when they do this consideration? Are they using civil engineers to do this?
Yeah, they are.
Okay, great. That's a good start then.
Yeah, it
what
is a
kind
good
of design
start.
Criteria are they using for this?
You know, again, you're... This isn't my area of expertise.
Oh, you're the boss.
But, you know, I can get answers. And
all
so
right.
that's what I'll do.
Okay.
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 But good question.
Was there an environmental impact study done?
There was an EA done in 1998 when the original dairy went in. And because the way that EA was constructed, it took in all the subsequent work that's been done in the course of the dairy's expansion. There were no red flags put up. It didn't trigger another EA. And
do we know that for sure?
Yes, I've got an opinion from the Attorney General's office.
Recently?
Yeah, recently I asked because there was an ask from Val when I talked to her on the phone and others. Yes.
Well, I know about the two ponds you have, but what about the pit where you dump the dead animals?
The kill pit.
Well, what do we... Is that lined? What happens when it's just open?
It's an open pit.
Well, what happens to all that?
It gets buried and decomposes.
It's open, you said.
It's a part of animal agriculture practice, yes.
You just leave it open and so... Is
that
pit lined or just
no.
come in and just?
Just the soil. It's a deep pit, so it's not going to take in water and leach it out.
Well, it didn't look like that. Well, the picture that they had of the report in 2016, it doesn't look like a deep pit. The animals were piled high above ground, and then it was said that the sheets of water that go over that are taken and put into the affluent pond or something, and then. They spray it over the field. I mean, if you read the report. So I have anybody who wants the report, let me know for the two reports because we have an email. I can email that to you. And it has a lot of pictures that are really disgusting, but it's a good report. But, you know, hopefully things will start to change. I don't know what will change because where they, if you say they're burying their animals, where are they... What are they doing? You know, you have medical supplies, I'm sure, there. The empty bottles or medical, biological waste or whatever. Where is that all going?
You know, again, that's in the weeds for the work that I do, Val, which is usually in Honolulu on policy. And
so
you know, I can, in the position I'm in, I can get just about any answer you're looking for. I can do that. But it's, you know, I don't check on how, say, Ed Botello or Big Island Dairy does with their medical waste.
So, Scott, I think part of the frustration with the community is who's holding large ag responsible or accountable to doing the good management practices so that it doesn't negatively impact a community? Who's the regulatory agencies that are watching that? Or is it us as a community, as we get some people are saying, we're getting poisoned? As that happens, and then we're kind of going, hey, down here, can you help us down here? What, you know, this is going on. Okay, let me go check. You know, so, but it's after the fact, and I'm thinking, something needs to give. So when council member, well, a past council member, Margaret Willis, was here and wanted to do a Department of Ag for the county, of course we don't have money to do that, I can understand now why we want to do it. Because who's the regulatory agency that would be holding them accountable to best practices?
There are multiple agencies that would have jurisdictions over different part of what they do, but the state, and in this case, the Hawaii Department of Agriculture, is the landlord. And so that's why I'm up here speaking and not Big Island Dairy, because the issues that you've brought up, the issues that I'm fielding from the community, are really issues for the landlord and for the landlord to find out. And that's why I reached out to the deputy at the Department of Health to tell him that I needed his assistance, and I was willing to pay for his assistance, which is important for an underfunded department like Department of Health to hear that I'll pay for the manpower to do the work that we need to do going forward. So I think you've found the right person to help you answer the questions that you have about what's going on. You're talking to the landlord.
Yes.
I have a question. So in case the runoff of all the videos or whatever, and there is some fines imposed by whoever would impose it, you're saying the state will pay the fines or the dairy will pay the fines? So you're taking responsibility.
I'm saying I'm the landlord. So,
okay, so are you taking responsibility, though, as a landlord?
As, you know, we'll define our terms. I'm the landlord, so I can speak to our tenant, because we can hold our tenant responsible. If our tenant says intentionally breaks the law, no, the state's not going to stand up in front and say, somebody that intentionally broke the law, we're going to pay for them. So you have to define your terms. And, you know, in getting what you're asking for is the state to take a look at the questions you have about what's transpiring in the community and your concerns, because you think it's related to our tenant, Big Island Dairy. With that, I can help get the answers from whether it's the Department of Health or any one of their branches, or the Department of Ag, or any other agency that might have jurisdiction up there. And that's all I was saying. So,
Scott, it just seems odd because here the state is kind of buffering and trying to almost like protect the dairy and some of their mismanagement.
Well, the dairy can't answer your questions. No, the questions you're asking aren't questions that they can answer, and that's why I'm standing here and offering to answer the questions.
And we've been saying this for many, many, many years. I mean, you've talked to, God bless him, Bobby LaBrie, who couldn't be here tonight. He's one who has been complaining a lot because he lives right below the dairy. He was here at the meeting in September. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here at his next two meetings. But then, if you guys are the landlord, why is it taking so long for all of this? You're waiting for us to go dig and research and pose some questions before things can get done. I mean,
if probably could have moved faster. If you let me know, Val, that you had concerns.
We had. I called civil defense. You were on the mainland. You couldn't make it back. You were there, right, at a meeting last year, too? Correct?
Yeah.
Yes, at the civil defense office. We tried. Ed Teixeira, unfortunately, is no longer with us. He was making headway. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of like fell to, you know, so.
But, you know.
And even before that, Val, you knew.
There was a 200-year storms in the last 5 years, and so that there was runoff from the dairy. I knew that they had to work on their conservation plan. They're doing that. And yeah, I think you heard that last week. That's happening. That's what a landlord asked them to do. If I can, I'm still finishing this question. So, you know, we were there. So I know that we're working on the conservation plan. I didn't know about that the community actually thought that the dairy had intentionally discharged waste into the stream. That was never anything that was on my radar. I mean, that's nefarious. That's saying that the dairies are bad actors. I didn't know that. And I know that now. You know? But, you know, the Department of Health doesn't seem to think that that's the case. Carol.
Regarding the opinion from the Attorney General, could you provide us a copy of the written request and also the written opinion that the Attorney General...
I'll talk to the AG. You know, that's... I imagine the request is being asked. I'll go back to the AG. Yeah. Usually that's between the client and the, you know, the attorney, but I don't have any problem releasing it. And I answered your question in the affirmative, Kelly.
Let me go back to that, too. And I didn't say, because I got to be very careful, even at the last meeting, I'm not saying the water is intentionally being discharged by the dairy. But I just want to make that clear for the record. I'm saying that the community is also saying, and I'm part of the community, I live right here, I'm saying it looks like it may be coming from the dairy. You know, all that stuff. And when we look at, yes, had the storm, but there were days, wasn't even raining, right? When you get the film of the rushing water coming down through the gulch, and God knows where that came from,
yeah.
And it was brown, mucky water.
Do you guys care to let us know what you guys were doing up there two Sundays ago, why on a dry day that any amount of water like that would be running down?
Hey, Sonny, I think I've got the floor, Sonny.
You like to answer that?
Val, you want to grab hold of this meeting?
No,
I think
answer.
You've lost control of your meeting.
No answers.
And excuse me, because we've been dealing with this.
He said he didn't lie to us last time, and almost everything he says is a lie. You're a bad liar, too.
False information.
Matt,
okay,
and then, yeah, Matt.
Since you guys mentioned, I
can't hear you.
Did you both mention the open carcass pit?
Kill.
You said it was kind of
thank you, sir.
Into the environment, right? Well, my question is, why would they have to have a clean pit up there?
You're
number one.
Okay.
And then number two, if it's because of illness in the animal, they need to destroy the animal, then is somebody testing the animal?
First of all, animal agriculture, you're always going to have mortality. I mean, their mortality rates, and I would defer to, I have Jason Boniz, one of our state vets, and Tim Richards, who took a close look at what was going on with animal health up there. And he thought it was a well-run facility. But you're always going to have mortality as part of animal agriculture.
They kill calves.
Yeah.
That's
normal.
So I understand about the normal mortality of the animal.
Right.
But are they testing to make sure that there's no illness in the animal?
Yes.
That's going to go into the ground and it may be...
Yes, and Tim, would you like to comment on... Max's question about animal health, seeing you're a vet.
Yeah, in my other life.
Thank you.
Yeah, concern is.
Can you introduce yourself to the record?
Thank you, Val. My name is Tim Richards. I'm councilman from District 9. Also, I'm a large animal veterinarian. I know some of the people in the room. I've probably worked on a bunch of your animals. A question is concerning the human health concern for animals in the dead pit, and the likelihood of a zoonotic disease, meaning can infect cattle, can infect people, other species, is extremely low. Here in Hawaii, we're very fortunate. We're clear on a lot of those diseases that otherwise might be a concern. As Scott has said, we are faced with, in animal agriculture of any size, you're going to have losses in it. And it's unfortunate, and we strive for it. I did spend time going through the herd health programs, and very, very similar to what I write. Over the last 30-plus years, I've written herd health programs for hundreds of thousands of animals, and these are on par with what I'm seeing. The statistics that I was given, on par with large animal production. So there's nothing I'm concerned there as far as numbers, and there's definitely not a concern for the human health. There's not going to be something that's going to leach into the soils, leach into the aquifer, and cause a problem for us. So I didn't say anything I was concerned about from that standpoint. Does that answer the question? Who asked it, by the way? Oh, okay. Thank you. Does that answer the question?
Yeah. Pretty
okay.
Any follow-up questions for Ben?
Very good job.
Yeah, I just have a question as a nurse. When I read the report from 2016, the farm manager described to Mr. Carano and Mr. D'Angelo that water does flow out of the dead pits, and that he saw it as being captured and caught in the lower lagoon, which is then used for irrigation. But also when the cannons spray that water, that was one of the areas where in 2014 that cannon spray, the plume, was seen pooling and running off. So my concern from a health standpoint is, if that open dead pit of decaying carcasses has sheet flow into the lower lagoon, as the manager described, the State Department of Health, and it's known that that lower lagoon is then used for a plume spray, and it's known that the manure solids and cells that are on the ground are there to compound with what's coming from the pit. Isn't that potential for a human health risk to mix the dead carcass water with all the other stuff?
If the bacteria levels were high enough, I can understand your concern. As a health profession, I hear what you're saying. with any normal decomposition, you're going to have bacteria. That's part of it. If that was the case previously, that's not what I observed today. The dead pit is in its own area. It is not in any water flow. It is in and itself, and the numbers in it relatively small. So as far as what you're describing, if that was a concern, that's not the case at this point, because that's not where the dead pit is. It's being managed like I've seen in other operations.
I think the description was that when it rains, that water from the dead pit flows down into the lower lagoon. That's actually what's reported.
Yeah, and the picture that I saw in the report is not what I see today. And so I think if that was a concern, that's been moved and corrected, and I don't even think a 100-year storm is going to cause a lot of water to flow through this pit. The geography is not set up that you're going to have that flow through. You may collect a little pooling in there itself, but you're not going to have a flow through. You're not going to have sheeting of water going through that as it is today.
So the location looks to be different today?
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry, Ken. I can't answer that. All I can do is I say, is that... Yeah, what I saw today, like I said, I've been a cow vet for 30-plus years. I've toured many, many operations across the United States, both dairy and beef, and this ranks up right on top of some of the better management practices I've seen. So, like I said, I didn't see anything that I was alarmed at. Any of the concerns that are raising tonight are in hand, are being handled, are being addressed. And from what I've read, from what I've seen, from my discussions with people within the community and with management and owners, I know they are working to be a good neighbor. But I think some work needs to get done to get some things attended to. But on balance, like I said, I was quite impressed with the operation as a whole, both waste management, animal health and well-being. I tell you, I've seen very few operations that handle their animals better than this operation does. So I was surprisingly happy with what I saw up there.
The dairy has a hospital where all the sick cows are placed. Can you let us know what kind of common diseases are acquired by the sick cows in the hospital, and the tumors?
Okay, first of all,
types of tumors, and how can sick cow be buried and cause a mutation to the environment, no matter how deep they go?
Okay, first of all, I'm not the consulting veterinarian for them. I am up there, I am a veterinarian, and I look at different operations differently. As far as the sick pen, I didn't go through the sick pen. I know the statistics that I was shown as far as what they are operating up there. Now, as far as diseases, I can speak generally of what we deal with in the cattle herds here, and for doing it for 30-plus years, I'm quite confident I know pretty much what we deal with when it comes to livestock. Specific to their operation, I can venture a guess, but even so, as a veterinarian, there's a client-patient doctor confidentiality, and we don't discuss openly unless requested by the client themselves. So I don't do that for any of my clients. So I can't do that with you.
So the community is not allowed to know what kind of tumors in their teeth and how they treat, okay. What kind of medicine they use, and the biological terms.
Like I said, I'm not the consulting vet here, and I can't answer that question on this operation. I can answer questions generally when it comes to the herd health programs. And like I said, the programs that I know that they have employed there and put on into the animals, right up on the same category for the high level that I've worked with for the last 30-plus years. I know that doesn't directly answer your question, but like I said, I'm not the consulting vet. And I couldn't answer that question anyway if I was. All right?
No.
Yeah, question was, what kind of diseases do we have around? On the mainland, they deal with a lot of things. Tuberculosis, for one, and brucellosis. Those are both diseases that affect the cattle industry and are a real potential herd health, a human health problem. I guess we can look at humans as part of a herd, but they are big concerns on the mainland. We are very, very fortunate because our state eliminated those back in the 20s and 30s. I think Dr. Case was very instrumental in getting that done. Those are the big ones. So when posed the questions about animals in the dead pit, is that a concern for us? No, because we are clean. And how do we know we're clean? Because we consistently test time and time and time again. And I know that this dairy, it gets done in the milk test, as I recall. So we know that this is being monitored all the time. So those are the human health concerns. The other concerns that we have are the respiratory viruses. Just like all of us get respiratory, when you catch cold, most time it's what's called a rhinovirus. Cattle, horses, dogs, cats, they all get rhinoviruses. They get those too. Some of the other ones, leptospirosis, they get that as well. There's other viruses. So a lot of this stuff all applies there, but it stays in the cattle side. So from the human health standpoint, very, very, very minimal concern, if at all. Does that answer that? Okay. Scott.
Thank you, Tim. Yes.
Where the new sheet is, we're the one that bought the dance hall and remodeled the dance hall to a residence.
Nice work.
The middle gulch runs right through our property. We actually are the proud parents of about 200 feet of the gulch that is now a cesspool pit. And when it runs, it's in the soil. It smells like cow manure. We've had it tested. The Department of Health just came out 2 weeks ago, had it tested. Alarming rates of bacteria, E. coli. I think out of all the testing that they did, we were the lucky family to be the one that had the highest rating. So our property is contaminated. And so, from my understanding, back in the day, there was never, the rivers were clean water. Now when it runs, it's brown muck cow shit. And I just, for the life of me, don't understand. But we invested our whole life savings into this property. And we care about the community. There's many, many families that are here today because of what happened in that dance hall. And now, you know that my property is a contaminated cesspool. I want to know, how are we going to work this out? As the landowner for the property that is contaminating my property, and the direct source for that ravine is the dairy. So how are we going to work that out?
But what Val asked for when she and I spoke on the phone a couple of times prior to my coming was from this meeting we were going to start doing planning on how we're going to do it. So I can't answer you with specifics at this particular moment, but I know you didn't miss the fact that I told you that I was committed to moving forward and paying for the work with the Department of Health. So we'll do that.
The property owner that ravine runs right through.
I know the property well.
I need you to make a commitment to me and on behalf of the community to figure this out. Because right now my property is worthless. You know, I've got three young children. It's a problem, and it's our whole life savings right there in my property.
As I mentioned to the group, but I'll say it specifically to you because of that concern, I'm committed to getting to the bottom of what the problem is in terms of that bacteria load and moving forward to make that go away. So but she did a great job on that property.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
Really believe
that was it's a beautiful property. I remember it when. So my commitment.
I want to shake on that.
The deal. Get that, Carol. Don't miss that. Mel.
Watch
sorry.
You are the landlord who represents this baby. And the tenant is the baby. My concern is about the damages that your tenant has done to my property, my house, way back at the rate of water. Last year in September, so I'm going to hold you accountable for the damages of my property, my house, my bedroom, my room, and one of my room was full of cattle manure that sent my members of my family to the hospital because of the disease of that bacteria. And the damages that I already spent is about $10,000. At my own expense, because the first meeting, a tech therapist, she tried to look for resources that can help me for the improvement of the damages. Still, one big job is not done yet, which is accumulated mud from the daily under my house. It's now almost reaching the floor of my property. I have not done that one yet. I'm looking for a company that can help me remove the mud under the house. So we are looking at like no less than $10,000 for me to withstand all these damages. And I think you are the person that I will be looking at before we go to higher step, I mean, to the court. I'm thinking to bring this matter to the court if you cannot help me resolve this problem. I spent a lot of money at my own pocket. I have all the proof. I don't know if you were aware of the video that I sent to Dallas before, when my property was in the rain of water full of mud came to my property and damaged one room and that enclosed my life full of mud. So I'll come and see you later on and give you details of this one. I think you are the right person now that I need to see. You are all accountable for this one. You are the landlord representing the state. Your parents is the day before I go and see you later. So I think I need to come and see you first. How about that? I'll listen from you.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Mel. I believe I'm going to be back this coming weekend. I'll come by your house, and you can tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I can show you. Right?
Yes.
I have a lot of damage to my wall, all collected from the mud. From up, down. They're all in my garage, every accessible area. The accessible area, the wall is. All crack on the bottom, so now when it rains, the little dirt comes down. And I don't have any money to, you know, my dad just passed away. And Alika told me it would cost about $30,000 to fix all of that.
It's, excuse me, I don't know you.
I'm Lisa Curtis.
Scott.
lived in my grandma's house.
Oh, yeah.
Cardoza before.
And William.
Yeah.
I know where that is. William was a friend from plantation time. So when I go by to see Mel, I'll come by. We'll talk. No, I'm not certain where the liability is with this particular incident and what the state's recourse is, but I'll come by. Yes.
Out of all that flood that happened, so where are the box? My property is below Mel and Lisa.
I know the property. Your brother helped save our house in the fire.
Right, my son.
My son. Sorry. Made you younger.
So that water came through our ditch that we maintained for at least 60 years since my grandfather had that home. You know, we don't have much. You know, we couldn't maintain it as much as we could and so forth, but it ruined that ditch where the county water comes through. You know, so we're stuck in a bind there. All that mud came through was, I mean, my house was like a waterfall. You know, my neighbor took pictures of it and so forth, but now all that mud and that's filled with just bacteria has gotten our family sick. My auntie is fighting her bacteria that she has since January.
Bella.
And she's 80 years old, and she's been in the hospital for 3 times. She's on antibiotics, and, you know, tomorrow I'll take another stool. They're going to take another stool sample because it seems like it's not disappearing. Because of all that mud that's still sitting underneath our home, patios and so forth, just the debris, it's heartbreaking, you know? But we need to find solutions to help the community also. So first down, we're not there.
It's, you know, on a number of these things, it's, you know, and for the state, it would be more about a causal relationship, proving that one thing caused another. But what I'll do, seeing I'm going to have some other trips, Mel's and Ms. Cardoza, I'll come by this coming weekend. I'll give you a call. I'll get your number from Valerie and come by. And we'll do, maybe I'll send in the Department of Health and we can see if what that silt is really made of and see if it's, if it does have a bacteria count. Good to see you. No, that's not what we do. And, you know, really in a sense like this, we would want a third party to do it. So get a third party to come out and do it. But, you know, that's something that we can contract for. Are you interested in that silt? And, okay.
I think everyone who's had that flood, in our situation is it wasn't from a one-time event, it was every couple days event. But I think that that's something that would, the other people that have had the flooding and the mud and whatnot in their soil, that's part of the concern, is we don't know what's left behind and what exposures we have, what our children have, and our elderly to what's in that soil.
Okay. Telling me it's time. You hooking me? Any last questions? I will be back. You have a commitment from me to the community, Val. I'll take another kiss and send me on my way.
Thank you. Okay, how about a hand for Scott for coming out? If not, we're going to pick it by his house, that's why. So he was forced to come, though. Okay, so what will happen next is I have everybody's phone numbers, and emails, and we're going to call a community meeting so that we can discuss and gather all the information and the pictures and the videos that we have and start to put our own little community PowerPoint together so we can tell them what are our goals, what do we want to accomplish to this, and how, what can we hold the dairy accountable to. And I'm hoping, Brad and Mr. Riley, that you will open that invitation from us, the community, to the land, the property owners or the dairy owners, and tell them that we would, I promise they're not going to come, go out of here beaten. I mean, they will probably, a tongue lashing maybe, no. But it would be honorable for them to come and meet their neighbors for the first time. And when did you guys take ownership of the dairy? What year? 2012. This is now 2017, and we have no idea what these people look like. And they're our neighbors. So, you know, in our community, we pride ourselves of being ohana and family. So we got to treat each other like family. And when you have family, you care for family. So we got to start caring for each other. And so, again, I thank you both for being here. It speaks volumes that you guys have come out and sit and listen through the community, so I appreciate that. Appreciate Councilmember Richards and Mr. Moniz for coming and listening as well and getting some information. And our soil and conservation people, thank you so much for hanging in there with us. And Mr. Melrose, too, for being here. People are going, who's that guy over there taking notes? You know? But did I miss anybody? Or the Department of Health, too? Thank you very much. And, oh, we have our new civil defense guy. Come here, Talmadge. This is Talmadge. I like pronounce him like maybe French Talmadge or whatever, but it's English. Talmadge Magno? Yeah, Magno. Filipino. Okay, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I grew up on this island. I was admiring you guys' Hamakua, of course, because I grew up in Puna. You know, it's all lava rocks up there. Everything just floats under the, or dissipates under the ground and goes nowhere. Anyway, grew up on this island, went to school here, and lastly, I was a chief ranger at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, worked for the Park Service for 30 years, law enforcement, emergency services, and now I'm your civil defense head. So, you know, I've been listening to everything going on, and I took some notes, report back to the mayor tomorrow. You know, we've had some, found some stuff out about Hamakua here as far as, you know, like the weather service, as far as tracking, you know, flooding and so forth out here. So you guys got some different aspects up here with this big mountain. The Doppler radar doesn't even pick up out here. Below like 6,000 feet, so rainfall below that, we don't even get on our flood warnings and stuff like that. So working with the National Weather Service to figure that stuff out. But you know, I'm public servant. Give me a call. Number's in the phone book. Thanks.
Thank you. So we have civil defense at the from the county level engaged, of course, and with our mayor. I'm always in touch with what's going on. So thank you so much for being here tonight, and you'll be hearing from us more often, too. And any, yes, Sharon.
I just want to say thank you, Val.
Oh, no.
But
you guys, I mean, you know, I got to thank all of you because you call me to the table on a lot of stuff, and this is my community too, and I just love Hamakua, period, and I love our lifestyle, and I want to make sure that we preserve what we have and that we all become good neighbors and people who are new developers coming in from the mainland. And this is my big thing. We have a lot, and it's not just Hamakua we're going through this. I just came from a meeting at Honamu. Honamu is getting a lot of flooding happening there, and it's because the sale of the sugar land went to a lot of people from the mainland. So a lot of people from the mainland don't understand our Ahupua'a system, yeah? The history and why the Ahupua'a system was put into place, because you got to take your neighbors, take care of your neighbors below, yeah? And the water flow and the berms and all of this. So know that my heart is on the Hamakua Coast, will always be, I'll die here, and I want to make sure that our future generations enjoy what we've always enjoyed. So thank you, Ken. Thank you, all of you, for holding my feet to the fire. Okay, aloha.